So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé MK. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will be discussing the Season 10 Tell-All Part 1 of 90 Day Fiancé. In this episode, we get a quick update from all the couples, and then Sophie's mom comes on to fight with Rob, Ashley's mom and sister come on to talk about why they don't trust Manuel, and then Jasmine reacts to seeing the video from Gino's bachelor party. Alright, thanks for listening, stay safe, and enjoy! Hello, Miss H.
How are you today?
I'm not doing too bad. Our weather took an awesome turn this weekend, so I got to like sit outside in the sun and like 70 degrees. It was nice. So
yeah, that sounds nice. It was raining here, I think. I don't know. I was inside like the entire weekend. I was at a conference, so
yeah, I heard. Well, and then obviously not near you, but there's like all the snow going, like crazy blizzards over there and stuff. Your weather has just not been good for the past couple months.
It really hasn't, but, you know, it's winter time, so I guess it's fair enough. If this were happening during summer, I'd be throwing a fit.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Summers in California is, like, you know, best time.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a tell-all, right? We got got to the end of this pretty long. It's not the longest season we've had. It was a pretty long season.
Yeah, it felt that way, especially because we actually had a week off this time.
Yeah, right, right. So, just like all the tell-alls, it's a two-part tell-all. So some of the people we just heard a little bit from, and I assume we'll hear more from them next week, like Sam and Chitra. So Sam and Chitra, they come in, and we kind of – it seems like we kind of already solved the mystery of whether Sam is going back to jail because he's there. And Jasmine was like, oh, I didn't think he was going to be there. I thought he'd be in jail and she'd be in Indonesia. Then at the beginning of the show, they kind of roll through everybody and ask for updates, and Sam has a pretty big update. That they're expecting, and Citra is 12 weeks pregnant now.
I knew it. Didn't I call it on like something? I was like, she looks pregnant in this interview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been after the show. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I was like, there's like baby bumping or something, but I was like, and I was like, well, I don't want to like call her out for being like a little chubs or something, but she definitely seemed like she had a baby bump. So you heard it here first. I called it weeks ago.
That was you in my head. But I remember like before it started, I was talking to my partner about it. And she was like, what, do you think anybody's pregnant? And I was like, if anybody's pregnant, it's probably Sam and Citra.
Yeah.
Like, that would not surprise me that they would just get right to it.
Right, right. And I think like, you know, and I feel like we briefly talked about it, but it's like, you know, especially because her mom passed away. So, you know, it's like, who else are you going to learn birth control from, especially when it's a little taboo to be talking about it in the first place?
I don't know but I also don't know the cultural and religious things about that. But like, I know a lot of pretty religious people, she comes from a very religious family, are very much like, as soon as you get married, that's for making babies. Marriage is for making babies. You should get right on that, right? Not even worried about birth control anyway, right?
Sure. Yeah, so, okay, that's all we heard from Citra and Sam, at least for now. Let's talk about Clayton and Annalie. So Clayton and Annalie seem to make a very low-key entrance. Mm-hmm. Manuel immediately asks why Clayton's mom was living in their closet, and Jasmine jumps on and says, that is not normal or right for a grown woman to live in a closet. Clayton says there's really not much of a choice in the matter, and so because of that, there's nothing else to say about it. They've revealed that they recently moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and yes, Clayton's mother also moved with them. Clayton and Annalie then get a fan question if Clayton has ever eaten guinea pig, and he says that he can't separate the idea of, you know, a pet from the food, so he would never. Ashley then tells us that she had a guinea pig pet, Rosie, and she also tried guinea pig in Ecuador. She said she felt super guilty and didn't think the food was worth the guilt. Annalie thinks that guinea pigs are delicious, but she would never eat their specific pets.
Yes, their pets specifically, sure.
Yeah. Well, okay, I will say one thing. So I have been to Peru, and I have eaten guinea pig. I would say that there's really not a whole lot of meat on it.
Like, that's not surprising. I would imagine it'd be a lot like squirrel or something like that.
It's a lot of work for like one bite. Like I felt like you had to like really scrape at the thing to get like one decent fork full of food.
Or like what else is like a rabbit? rabbits like that too.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Yeah.
But I will say that we saw a couple of the guinea pigs, like, you know, squirreling around there, you know, and they were kind of like, oh, yeah, these are ones that are going to be food at some point. Mm-hmm. And I recalled them being quite a bit smaller than Clayton's, like, guinea pigs.
Clayton has the fattened, nice
guinea pigs. Oh, yeah, he for sure. Well, have you seen his dog? Like, they clearly fatten up their pets in that household. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like Clayton's would specifically be good eaten, or at least different. I don't know. Maybe having them lean is better tasting than having like fatty guinea pigs. I don't know.
You have the marbled fat or whatever they have for the right. You know, Wagyu steaks or whatever. I don't know how it's supposed to work.
I have no idea.
The closet stuff was a little bit funny because, I mean, it seems like he was a little bit more forthcoming in that they were like, why did you make your mom sleep in the closet? And he was like, She moved into my house and I didn't have a second bedroom. Like, we're
right.
And I guess they were kind of like, well, then you should have moved to the closet instead. And he was just like, no, my mom's – no, I'm not doing that. Like, I have my – like, she moved into my house, not the other way around.
Right. Yeah, but also I feel like that they shouldn't have been content with that situation and they should have moved into a bigger space.
That should have been a much shorter term, thing. Yes, for sure. It shouldn't have been, like, months and months and months. It should have been, like – and even the closet would have been weird. It should have been my mom crashed on my sleeper sofa – for a couple of weeks until we found a two-bedroom place, and then we figured it out, right?
Yeah. So we'll probably see next week what their new place looks like and if poor mom is in. I can't imagine it's still a closet.
Yeah, I can't imagine she still has a closet. Like, they moved to, like, you know, four states over and didn't at least get her a bedroom.
Right. Yeah. So hopefully.
Yeah. All right. So that's pretty much all we heard from them. Another couple we didn't hear all that much from was Nick and Devin. So Nick and Devin come in after everyone else. By the way, they're still here. They were still in this season. They're pretty much the last ones that show up, just like an afterthought for everybody involved. So Devin kind of tells us that she thinks this might be her chance to speak up because she didn't speak up during filming. And then we just hear Nick telling the camera that he's not totally excited to be here to listen to all the haters and the losers.
Then
all that happens is they're like, how are things going? And they're like, good.
I mean, it does look like Devin you finding your voice here.
Yeah, Devin lost a bit of weight, like between
she
the
looked good.
Oh, she looked very good. She looked very good.
And I don't even think it was just the weight loss, but it's like, oh, remember we kind of talked about her sad face eyeliner situation?
The downturned eyeliner. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I felt like her makeup was well done. Her hair looked really nice. The dress she was wearing was super flattering. It did, like, make her look, like, a lot slimmer. She had, like, the red bottom heels on, right. You know, looking fashionable.
It's funny because that's the one thing I saw was the red bottom heels, and she had to go on like online and like hold them up and be like, no, they are real. Like, these are not, they're not fake. They're mine. Like, they didn't give them to me to borrow.
Like,
these are my heels.
Yeah. But, you know, like the heels just in general make your legs look longer, mm-hmm. you know, so she definitely looked very nice.
They didn't even butt in on anybody else's talking. Like,
no,
they just kept a low profile for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of previews about, you know, it seems like their whole tell all is going to be about him calling her piggy. Right. So it's like we know that that's coming up. And so I feel like that's also why they're keeping a low profile, because I know that's what they're getting.
They know that's what they're getting asked about, because that's the only thing they had to talk about in the whole season.
Right. So I think they're trying not to attract too much attention to themselves
mm-hmm.
until shots are fired. And then, you know, who knows if they'll jump in or not.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to Nikki and Igor. So Nikki Exotica, as she says, has entered the building, which means a lot of cuteness and a lot of pink. She claims to be in a total nightmare currently. But in the meantime, she's strutting her stuff in her magenta poof Barbie dress. Her and Jasmine have been online friends for a while and definitely shows during their segments. And Nikki asks if she can be a third wheel to Gino and Jasmine. Nikki tells us that she went to Moldova after the season ended. So after the, you know, sobbing breakup that we saw, you know, last episode, she ended up going back for his birthday and she thought that they had made up and things were okay. But then he called and it was kind of unclear as to when exactly he called and told her that he just wanted to be close friends. Okay, so then the day before this tell-all, I guess they had had a conversation where he told her that he's not trans attracted, which the rest of the cast didn't believe when Nikki told them. And Igor wasn't really privy to that side of the conversation.
Right, right. It was green
room.
So
he couldn't really say one way or the other.
They're very much like, I feel like you had sex with her way too many times and now say you're not attracted to her.
Like, right, right. So, but Igor does say that they were always trying to fix something and they just needed more time for themselves. Nikki feels like she's done everything for him and he, in turn, has just wasted 2 years of her life. Nikki feels like no one sees his faults and everyone thinks he's so great. And I don't know why she thinks that. Maybe it's like social media online people, but the cast seem to disagree and thinks that, oh no, he has a lot of faults. Igor sees Nikki like when they're getting set up on stage and calls her a bird and tries to talk to her, but she doesn't really seem interested in engaging. Igor is still calling her babe, which confuses Ashley because it seems like their relationship status is unclear to her. Igor makes some random comment about candles being like a nightlight to the toilet, and Nikki comments that you shouldn't ask him anything because he has no brain cells. So later, Igor proves that he has no brain cells by actually answering the "it's a trap" fan question.
Oh my God.
And says that he would hook up with Jasmine, who the whole time kind of looks like she's happy about it, but also like trying to feign like she's in shock and disgust. So there's a lot of, you know, emotions right to her face.
Sure.
So yeah, there was a fan question like, who would you have a baby with and then slash hook up with? Because that's what it kind of devolved to. And
right.
Most people were smart enough to pick up that that is a trick question.
Yes.
Only to cause drama amongst the couples, and Igor falls for it.
Rob did okay because Rob was like, I'd hook up with Gino. Look at that guy
right,
over there. Like,
right, right. So they made
fine.
It a joke.
Yes.
Right. And that's how they got out of actually answering this question.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm sorry, Rob. Like, Gino, like, you can't even pick one of the better guys. Like, you know that's a joke.
Yes. Right. He's like, I like bald guys with just a little bit of hair in the back of their head. Like, that's what I go for. Like, yeah. So it was... Yeah, clearly went with the joke answer, which is the only – because even before that, Rob was the first one to be like, nope.
Not falling for it.
Well, especially after he already had the issue. Remember, especially after their sex shop issue, right?
Right,
where the girl was
right.
like, hey, what do you think? And he was like,
it's a trap.
And like, yeah. Yeah. So he recognized the trap quicker than everyone else. But everyone else also was like, yep, no, not doing that.
Yeah, Igor just like comes off as
he made no sense at all.
No, exactly. Just
the entire
so dumb.
Time.
Right, yeah. Right. So I mean, I didn't think Nikki was wrong with a lot of her kind of conclusions in this episode, like, you know, one, that she thinks that, you know, everybody likes Igor. I do think there's a lot of people who are like, you know, at least at the beginning, I think, you know, if you just went off of first impressions, and I'll also, you know, say guilty, you know, first impressions, like, I think people did like him. But at some point along the way, didn't he have some like weird social media posts come up that made him seem really racist too?
Oh yeah, he was wearing like a Nazi Halloween,
Halloween
costume
yeah. or something. Yeah, so I mean, there's certainly things where he has lost favor with the fan base. And so
for
I don't think she needs to worry about that so much. Mm-hmm. I think she's a little worried that, you know, people will take his side in everything just because, you know, like, oh, he can do no wrong. And it's like, no.
No.
But her other assessment of, you know, like, don't ask him anything. You're going to get some nonsense, stupid response because dude's got no brain cells.
He just,
I mean,
he's clearly trying to joke and understands like the cadence of a joke, but not what makes anything funny. And so he makes these jokes that are just like,
just don't make sense.
They
and
don't
they're
make
not
any
funny.
Sense. And
right.
I have in my summaries of like, and then Igor jumped in and said,
right.
like, nonsense. Like, everybody's like, Okay. Anyway, like,
moving on. Yeah. Someone put this dude on mute.
Yes.
He's remote. We can do that. I mean, we should do that, right?
Yeah, we should. Like, we should definitely take. We need more remote people being muted and less people storming off the stage, which
they made a big deal about, you know, saying that there was translators on site, you know, and I think they were really mostly talking about for our Spanish speakers. But it's like, get a translator on site. Let him joke all he wants in Moldovan and then you can figure out if that's
maybe,
like.
Yeah, maybe. I do want to see that. I do want to see if the, because they usually speak Romanian, right?
Oh, okay,
I want to see if the Romanian translator like actually can make sense of the jokes and make them into things that are jokes.
And you're because, like, oh no, you're dumb in your home language too.
Or if it's just going to be like, I don't know, he said something about penis candles being a nightlight or something. I don't know either, guys.
A pathway to the toilet. Like, it makes no sense. Okay, whatever. Moving on, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So anyway, as we go on, we move on from them during our little like warm-up segment, and then we get to Sophie and Rob, but there was more with them beforehand. So Sophie and Rob show up, and Sophie's big change is her hair. She has dark hair now, which she says is her natural color. She tells us that she was only blonde because Rob told her told her to be blonde, which Rob immediately is like, I never said that. No, I didn't. I didn't tell you that. So that's pretty much how things go. So Rob is in the green room and it's uneasy that people are going to judge their relationship. And he also knows that he's going to have to relive him being all the sexting and the cheating and things like that. That's all going to come back up. So once the show starts, Sean starts with them by asking about her hair. And they're like, she's like, looks good. And then they move on. They go around everybody else. They come back to them for the first real segment. Now, it turns out that I guess pretty close after the show was over, they moved to Austin. So now they have a house that has an indoor bathroom and like plumbing and I assume bedroom, at least one. And so that part, which comes up a lot, is kind of solved now. So we start with Rob's online cheating and we get a flashback about all that. So Rob says that he was never really trying to look to actually hook up with anybody else. He was just sending videos and no, he wasn't sending any videos. They were only sending videos to him. They dropped into his DMs, sent videos, and he never met anybody. And he said that the worst thing he ever sent was just to tell somebody to send more, right? Because otherwise it was just videos that appeared in his DMs, right? So how could I be to blame for that? But Sophie was like, there was some descriptive language in there before send more that was probably a little bit worse than that. Like, you know, about how sexy and, you know, they are and how aroused you are and stuff like that. So then Igor steps up because he's Igor, right? And he makes his opinions known. He's like, he's on Rob's side here. He's like, what does she expect? What does she expect? She's so far away. And that's just what guys do out of habit. Like they just do that. Women have cats. Men do that. They you know, look at porn and do that kind of stuff. So and then again, it took me a while to figure out what he was meant because he did bring up cats and he was like, you know, women and cats. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything that was going on here? So as he's kind of still mumbling on, Gino tries to smooth things over and is like, well, you know, since that incident that we saw on the show, nothing's ever happened again, right? And then there's like a really, really long pause and then a commercial break and more of a pause before Rob is just like, no. So Ashley asks Sophie, why is she so confident that it's not going to happen again? And Sophie says, it's because I'm checking his phone now. She's like, I always thought that was kind of overprotective behavior, but now I get it. So at this point, they move on to the rocky relationship between Rob and Sophie's mom, Claire, and we get some more flashbacks of them fighting. So of course, and then when we get done with that, we come back and Claire's there, but she's not on stage. She's on Zoom. And she says her opinion of Rob has not improved at all. She thinks, and Sophie kind of agrees, that he wasn't at all ready for her to get there. He says that Sophie knew he was trying to get out of that place and that things fell through, but Claire doesn't want to hear that because he spent months without getting a job. And then he's like, hold on, I'm going to stop you. That's inaccurate. And then argues about how he did have a job and he had two jobs or only two jobs. And sometimes he had three jobs and you've never had a job, Claire, but men take care of you all the time. You should respect me. And then she calls him a knob again. I'm not exactly sure what was going on with all that, but somebody is lying about how many jobs and how many apartments this guy has had.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm confused just in general. Like, I kind of was under the impression that he never really had a real job.
Yeah, so I thought he didn't have a job, but then there's more. So then Rob says all he wants here is for Claire to stop talking shit about him, right? And at this point, he's like, they've moved out. And they moved out of the hood. They have an indoor bathroom. And she hasn't eased off at all. So he says she's constantly putting all these bad things about him on TV. And the rest of the cast is on his side about like, hey, maybe you shouldn't call your son-in-law names like Rob the Knob. Not so cool. So Ashley thinks Claire is just trying to be a protective mother, but it's just between her and Rob, they just trigger each other. So Sean asks Claire why she said the wedding day was a hard day for her. She said that during the show. And it's because she doesn't think this is the right man for her. For her daughter, because of, and it's just what she specifically talks about, how Rob speaks to Sophie and doesn't like make her feel enough like a princess, which is, I don't know. Then they take a break for lunch. And while they do that, Sophie says she's like, she kind of implies that when it comes between her mom's more fragile and she knows Rob can defend himself. So that's kind of why she tends to be on her mom's side. And then Rob comes in the green room sarcastically being like, well, I love how supportive you are of your mom. But where was the – and he just like – but I don't know where you went. Where was the – I know Rob works hard and Rob takes care of me. And what is that? You ever give me any support? And asks if she agrees that with Claire that he shouldn't have done the K-1 if he had this crappy apartment. She's kind of like, yeah, maybe. So Ashley steps up to say that she gets how he feels undervalued because he made the whole K-1 thing happen. Because he had to, because he's the U.S. citizen, and everybody is just shitting on him from all angles. So he talks about how she never said thank you for holding it down and paying the bills, and she's not asking her to kiss his ass about it. But you should appreciate me, which I don't understand the difference between those two things. Mm-hmm. So the entire cast starts talking over each other about the word appreciate and how much appreciate it is. And they really can't agree on who is telling how much truth here. So they go back on stage and they're kind of just relieved that their turn is over. Later toward the end, we had some reader questions, like reader questions, listener, watcher questions, viewer questions.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Right. And we come back and somebody asks Sophie, how do you turn off the buy side of your brain when you're in a relationship? And I don't know why they aired that question. It's one of the dumbest questions I've ever heard because she's like, I don't know. How do you turn off your brain from wanting other guys when you're in a relationship? It's like literally the same. Like,
yeah,
it's yeah. So there was that. All right. So Rob seemed very defensive here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think he was like actually had a case? Yeah. No.
I mean, the only thing I really thought I was like, eh, okay, was you know, she needs to quit being like Sophie's mom. Claire needs to quit being like disrespectful to him, you know, and the disrespect I think is like the name calling. So that I agree with. Everything else I'm kind of like, eh, I don't know.
I do also agree that she should move on from the things that are no longer true.
Right.
Like, you didn't even have a place with the bathroom. It's like, but I do now. So you can't keep using that as a reason that I'm not good enough or I'm not, you know, like at some point that is in the past and you have to be judging the person he is now. Mm-hmm. Now, I think he's a whiny little bitch about everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like it's just just the little things. Well, I think you should. How much do you give your partner appreciation for paying his own bills? And like, you know, washing himself. What do you want? You want a cookie? I'm so confused about what he wants from her.
Yeah, I do. I think he expects people to like fawn over him, you know, and like always compliment and flatter him. But I just think he's with the wrong person if that's really what he's expecting. Like, has she ever done that?
Yeah.
Not really.
If you want a person that's going to fawn over and appreciate and be like, oh, I love you so much, and just emote over you all the time, you don't pick a British person. That is not what they do. Like, this is the wrong person completely.
Right, right. So, yeah, it seems like, okay, well, that's fair if that's what you think you need, but you're not going to get that from this person. And it's like, it's pretty obvious from the beginning that you're not going to get that from this person. So, you know, you can't blame it on her at this point.
And I do kind of have a little bit of sympathy for him being like, oh, man, it's one thing to not like stick up for me to your mom and be blah, blah, blah. It's another thing to be like, if your mom's giving me a hard time, to pile on. And I'd be like, you know, mom, like, why don't you take a step back? Like, we've talked about it. We have an agreement. Like, that's not great either. But the part I always forget here is that she's like 10 years younger than him. Why is he the one acting like a child?
Yeah, he does act like a child. It's really frustrating.
And I think that was about – oh, yeah. And then did you – Igor – so Igor is just like – because Igor also completely missed the point of the sexting thing. He was just like, oh, it's just jerking off. Of course, jerking off's not a.
Okay, not Igor cheating. Is not the person that you really want on your side. The guy who's like, oh, friends with benefits, no big deal. Like, even if you're in a relationship with someone else, why? You have to have sex. It's like a thing. So yes, it's fine. Yes, don't worry about it.
Yes, the friends with benefits are fine until you're engaged.
Yeah.
And by engaged, I mean engaged and physically present with the person.
Right.
Yes. If they're out, you can have sex with whoever you want. That's just, yeah.
His vote of support doesn't mean anything.
But even if it wasn't, it was like he completely missed the point. It was like, it's not the jerking off that is right. upsetting her. It's the fact that he was like talking to real people and getting videos from real people.
Oh my gosh. Well, like I said, he is not kind of the standard of this, considering his own issues with infidelity.
Its own issues with infidelity and clearly understanding women, because it was like, you know, men like to have sex and get off and, you know, do things. And women just need cats. It's like, I don't.
Gosh.
There's. Yeah, no.
Yeah, Igor, my goodness. All right. So let's move on to Gino and Jasmine. So Jasmine enters the tell-all positive. At least that's what she says. She says that the love is there, but love never seems to be enough between her and Gino. She says that they have a new set of problems now. Gino is worried because tell-alls always seem to be a him versus her. But he says he came to fight, so don't fuck with him. Sean is also from Michigan, so she asks how Jasmine is surviving Michigan, especially in the winter. Jasmine says she's surviving and appreciating life. She's looking forward to Michigan summer. At some point, Nikki says out of all the cast, she would want to have a child with Jasmine. And Jasmine admits that she has been attracted to women in the past and she is attracted to Nikki. And she would bleep her bleep. And Gino would happily watch. At their check-in, they both say that they have been trying in their relationship, but it's been a bit of a roller coaster. They show the clip of Gino taking off his hat at the wedding, and Jasmine says that it was important for her because she wanted the wedding to be genuine. They talk about the wedding dress incident, which Jasmine immediately says, oops. Sean reminds us that Jasmine spent her wedding dress money on butt implants. Jasmine argues that her wedding dress currently is in plastic in the basement, whereas her ass is with her always, and her only regret is that she didn't get bigger implants. Jasmine then shows off her ass, and Gino admits he does like bigger. Jasmine says that Sophie is her ass goal, which I thought was super sweet. Sam and Devin are not on board with spending what they, you know, calculated is $5,000 per butt cheek. Nikki says that she got her butt implants at the same time as Jasmine. Gino doesn't like that, you know, Jasmine went to her ex Dane for the money. And Jasmine says that her ex Dane has someone that he loves and he has morals and he would never cheat. So there's nothing wrong. Jasmine admits that she says things when she's mad, like saying she wished she had sex with Dane, and says that Gino retaliates and also says things like sex with his exes were better. Gino says that what she says does affect their intimacy, and Jasmine says that it's not all her and that he actually triggers her. She is clearly upset at this point. They then show the lip gloss scene, and Sam notes that Gino looks so guilty in the video. Sean says that it was an extreme reaction to finding lip gloss. Gino says that he's had that truck for 6 years before Jasmine, so who knows? when or who that came from. And Jasmine says that the lip gloss was fresh because she opened it. Most of the cast found it plausible that it was an innocent lip gloss. They then talk about the bachelor party stripper. Jasmine gets riled up when Gino says that she had a stripper on her, and she screams that it was a divorce party and it wasn't at a strip club. Clayton jokes that she should have spent the BBL money on anger management classes. And Jasmine screams at him to shut up.
Shut up.
And Annalie, like, kind of stared forward, but then she kind of gave, like, Clayton this, like, what are you doing? Look. They then show the actual bachelor party at the strip club where there is a lot of twerking, and Devin covers Nick's eyes and Jasmine starts crying. Annalie and Ashley look on wide-eyed. Gino just kind of has this smirk and smile on his face the whole time. And then Sam comments that it looks like it's a good time. And Gino agrees, yes, it was fun. Gino says it's a normal thing as Jasmine is just quietly sobbing. They then bring on Daisy, one of the dancers. Daisy said that Gino was awkward and he seemed to want to hang out with his family. Didn't seem too interested in them. Jasmine is sobbing and saying she would never have married him had she seen this footage. She says that he was hugging half-naked women and that he never compliments her or makes her feel desired. Gino says that if she didn't say such hateful stuff, then maybe he would compliment her and make her feel desired. Jasmine says that she can't deal with this and she walks off. Gino thinks that he didn't do anything wrong, so he has every right to have fun at a bachelor party. Nikki walks off to comfort a sobbing Jasmine. So definitely something we see with them is, you know, when Jasmine gets upset, she kind of goes back to this whole, like, you never, right? And they always say, right, like, that's bad, right, you know, mm-hmm, like, things to say during arguments. But she's saying that she never feels desired. She never, you know, feels like he compliments her. And do you think that's just her being upset? Do you think she really believes that? Or do you think he just really doesn't do that?
I think she believes it in the moment because, mm-hmm, from what we've heard, as long as, you know, from what we see of her, she just goes from one extreme to another. Everything is always or never, right? There's no, mm-hmm, in betweens, because I don't believe we do, because we literally saw him compliment her ass earlier in the show. Like, we saw it. We saw him do it. And, like, the idea of it, like, he never does anything. We've seen him in the show numerous times be turned on by her, like, mm-hmm, you know, getting down. And now it does take for him a lot of, like, positive things. Like, I think she kind of wants to do the Ashley Manuel thing. Like, she wants to have extremely passionate, upset arguments and have that end with just, you know, makeup sex. And he is like, no, that's not happening. He doesn't do that. That's not the way he goes. And so then she feels like she's A, upset, and now B, being rejected at the same time.
Yeah, I just – it's more of the same old with them, right? They're just bringing it to the tell-all at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the one thing that's different about this one in particular is, mm-hmm, Gino doesn't seem to give a fuck.
He doesn't, which is very interesting because it's like, well, there are certainly moments where Gino feels that way. Like, you know, like, you're just like, okay, leave. You know, next thing they know, they're like making up and back together again. But, mm-hmm, there's certainly times where Gino kind of has this like whatever attitude. And he definitely has that here because he certainly feels that he said, I did nothing wrong. Why should I, you know, like feel guilty or bad about this?
And this is also just she's going to freak out for a while and then she'll be back and it'll be fine. Like, and so, and it, honestly, probably with him, the more I engage and the more I fight back with her, the longer it goes on. And it's just easier just to not engage and just be like, whatever. Like, okay. So you feel that way. Like, not even sorry you feel that way. Just seems like you feel that way. But I thought it was funny that they brought the dancer on.
Right.
And she like directly contradicts the things that we saw in the video.
Yeah.
Like, and it just like, I feel like that's just like the stripper code is like whenever the angry girlfriend comes in and be like, tell me what he was like. Well, he didn't seem to really be into it. And he just wanted to hang out with his friends and it's fine. Like,
he wasn't
don't worry
even
about
looking
it
up here. Yeah. Like, He was just like asking for more wings. Like he didn't care.
Yeah. That's no matter what the guy was actually doing. That is 100% what they're telling the girlfriend. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely didn't seem realistic based on what we were seeing. But I don't know. We're going to see this couple on HEA. I don't think there's going to be any more that comes out of this. Like, I feel like we're just hashing things that have already happened. We're just seeing them replay their emotions again. Mm-hmm. They're going to get mad. They're going to make up because we got to see them another season.
I also just don't buy that Gino is that stupid.
Right.
That he would just let her get taken completely by surprise by what happened on this in this bachelor party. Mm-hmm. That he knew was being filmed and he knew what he did and he knew it was there. And you know when that film is getting filmed that you're like, this is getting shown at the tell-all. This is what they're showing right. at the tell-all. Like, you know. He knows. He's not so dumb that he knows. So he's either being like savvy to, you know, like let her react to it and is being callous and savvy, or she's being fake. Like one of those two things is going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right. Definitely. We're going to get more of them. But, you know, in theory, things won't go so well. Like so.
Right.
So, yeah, we're mostly getting to the HEA and it's going to be a slog. And I actually – I'm like, you know, usually look at our – don't want to get inside baseball. Look at our podcast numbers. I think they're going to go down. I think a lot of people are going to skip this season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't know. At the same time, like – part of me is actually a little excited knowing that we have two couples that are, you know, like either verified broken up or like there's a very good chance they're broken up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there was, I don't know if you saw any of the stuff with Michael going on like this past week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's nuts. I don't know if they're going to include that either. Mm-hmm. So if you have not heard, Michael has run away. And it's funny because they keep on, you know, most of the clickbait is like, oh, he's run away. And it's like, what do you mean he's run away? But apparently his visa here is not dependent on if he stays with Angela or not.
No, but there's all kinds of like accusations about like she locked me in the basement and stole my passport and stuff like
yeah,
that's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know what to believe. So we'll see what happens in the season. But at least it does sound like it's something that's not a repeat. So
Right. And like I said, like the thing that pisses me off about couples like Gino Jasmine, it's like I was kind of invested in their arguments before because it'd be like, oh, is this going to break them? But it's like, yeah, because I was waiting for them to actually break. But when they don't, it's kind of like, oh, OK, this toxic cycle again. OK, we all know how it's going to end together when it shouldn't be.
Mm hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that brings us to last up, possibly another together when they shouldn't be. They actually brought up some interesting Ashley Manuel and some things kind of came up that I hadn't thought of a lot before. So I thought that was interesting. But anyway, Ashley and Manuel show up and Ashley admits, you know, before they get backstage that they're both difficult people. So communication to them has been hit or miss. But it seems like Manuel isn't completely unsurprisingly not worried at all about the tell-all questions that are coming his way. He's like, whatever, it'll be fine. I don't care. Like, as always, right? Manuel doesn't really care. So in the green room before the show, Ashley tells us that she lost 101 pounds altogether. She's looking very thin.
Crazy. Well, we'll talk about that after.
Yeah, yeah. And before most people get there, she brings out the sage and smokes up the whole room. After Ashley butts into Nikki's story, they come back to them. This is kind of like, you know, on stage. They ask him, like, how do you like her new look? And he was like, yeah, it's good. It's nice. She's thinner. And then they have her do a tarot card reading on stage, which is like confirms all of my suspicions about tarot cards in that like it predicts the most predictable things. I feel like somebody on stage is keeping a secret. Some people who are trying to keep their secrets are going to be frustrated. It's like, yeah, that's what tell-alls are. That's how they work. So anyway, Ashley and Manuel come when it's their turn to, you know, be grilled. Sean asks them about the rain at their wedding. And Ashley says it's been a good luck charm, even though so far communication for them has been difficult. So Sean asks Manuel about the whole, you know, witch thing. He's like, oh, how do you feel about her being a witch? And it just seems like they've settled on having – being okay with having different definitions of what Bruja is. Like, yeah. He's like, it means you're evil. And she's like, but I'm not. He's like, fine. So they're done with that. And he's fine. He thinks, you know, she has to have her own spirituality. And he'll let her do whatever things she needs to do for energies and all like that. Because he thinks that everyone's entitled to their own beliefs. The beliefs that bring us to her sex magic belief that she has. And this is kind of a new wrinkle. It involves – she talks about going to witch stores and getting – a candle that's shaped like a penis and then putting his semen on it and burning it for wishes or something. I don't know.
Wishes.
I don't know what – like for, to get things that you want, right? It's like
– Yeah.
And so – and then that's – I think that's kind of where Igor's like light in the bathroom like right, candle thing came from. They asked Manuel about it. He's just not comfortable talking about what they do with his semen on stage. So that brings us to their habit of – now that we're on sex, using sex to solve their arguments. And then, of course, we flash back to them having sex in a public bathroom, which – and you have to remember, this is always the first time everybody else on stage is seeing this stuff.
Yeah.
So Manuel says that there are many ways to work out problems, and this is just one that they found. So Sean asks the couples on the stage who else has done it in a public bathroom, and it's only Nikki and Rob who did it with another girl before Sophie. So, and she's like, what, you did it with another girl? He's like, do you want to do it right now? And she was like, no. And he was like, there you go. So then they bring on Ashley's mom and her sister, her mom, Stacy, and her sister, Sienna. So Sean asks Stacy if she trusts Manuel now that they're married, because there was an issue beforehand. And after a dramatic pause, she says, no. So Stacy says the reason that she didn't, she doesn't trust him is that he never actually like told his kids that he was moving to America.
Yeah.
And if you are going to do that kind of thing to one set of kids, are you going to do it to my grandbabies, for instance? So it's so bad that Stacy doesn't want them to have babies now. It's because, you know, all they do is argue and have sex. So Sienna and then, yeah, Ashley's like, but we talk. And she's like, you have sex. And then Sienna agrees that Manuel came here on a lie. And at this point, like, it's a weird, like, they're all kind of coming after Manuel, and we click to Sam, who's like, look at his face. And he's just making a weird face. But anyway, basically, Sienna is like, if you lied to your family in Ecuador, then what evidence do we have that you're not lying to us? All right. Ashley defends Manuel by saying he didn't really lie about coming to America. He just wasn't honest about when he was coming, okay. Which is, I didn't lie. I was just dishonest is not a winning argument most of the time. She says what happened was his visa got fast tracked and he had to come in. He had to get to America in 2 weeks. So he just said, oh, I'm going to America for work, even though they knew his long term plan was to come to America. So Stacy is adamant that when he left Ecuador for the last time, he definitely told his kids that he was coming to find work, not coming to get married and stay. And that's not just a little dishonesty. That's a pretty big lie. So Manuel says that his kids knew that he was coming, but they didn't know when. And he also kind of says that communication with his kids right now is a little spotty. He says he video calls them at least once a week, but sometimes it's tricky with the texts and stuff because he'll be like – he'll text them and then the next day they'll be like, Mom had my phone. And so, you know, that kind of stuff's going on. So Sienna starts to cry about how she's worried that Manuel, who deceives Ashley and makes her feel – makes it feel like this isn't the man for Ashley. So both Stacy and Sienna are crying. Manuel just like nonchalantly passes them a box of tissues. He's like, here. And then we get more flashbacks about Manuel hiding parts of his life from Ashley. And she says that, you know, Manuel's secretive side has always been an obstacle in their relationship. So they ask him if he understands why she may think that his, you know, not being so upfront and keeping secrets may make her think he's hiding something. And he says he's just trying to keep things from her, you know, that are just stressful and they're his problems to deal with. And all it would do is complicate her life. So why would I bring that up? So which is weird because – but that's also a little weird because most of the problems that he has to deal with are solved by Ashley sending them money. So it's kind of weird. It's like I didn't want to worry her about it. I just wanted her to give me money for it. So yeah. Stacy mentions a time that they sent money and Manuel has – and they said yelled and screamed to her about the money not being enough. So Stacy sometimes will get a call from Ashley, you know, about telling what's going on. And Stacy is actually, it's again, Ashley's mom has also sent money to Ecuador to help solve the problem. So Ashley verifies that that indeed has happened. And Manuel says that, you know, that mom has done a huge favor for him. Stacy says she doesn't care so much about the money, but it's about how he treats her, like calling her spoiled for getting coffee. So he tries to explain again that this is the cultural difference, and he knows about struggle. And Jasmine does some of her own explaining of the struggle, because she's like, you guys don't know how bad it is. And, you know, poor in third world countries is really poor, is what she, the kind of thing she was saying. So it's really a communication thing. So they tell Manuel that if you want people to understand that kind of thing, then if you don't understand how hard it is in that country, then you have to actually talk about that thing. You can't just be like, you don't understand, and so just give me money. So he doesn't want to do that because he just feels like he's being too much of a bother. And then the kind of self-pity party of the I feel like I'm being a bother gets Stacy and everybody to kind of, oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, no, you're great. We love you.
Oh, gosh.
So that's what happens with all that. So, I mean, I feel like this is the first time we've really focused on what his relationship and what the status was with his kids when he left was. And like the kind of information that he just like up and left, it was like, dad's looking for work. Later, knowing that he wasn't coming back is pretty fucked up, I think.
Yeah, no, I thought so too. I was like, oh, but it also doesn't surprise me. Just, I mean, at least I feel like Ashley can't take a lot of the stuff that he's kind of done, you know, to be not intentionally secretive, but very clearly it bothers her that he's like being secretive about stuff. But it's like, it makes sense. That's just who he is. He's someone who right. like just hides things for whatever like reason makes sense to him in his mind. But to the mm-hmm. point where it's like, it's not personal. It's not because he doesn't love Ashley, unless we could also argue that he doesn't love his kids, because basically mm-hmm. what I got out of this is that he treats his kids the same way he treats Ashley, leaving him in the dark.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I think there might be a little bit of a cultural, like masculine thing where like, no, men do not burden people with their problems. That mm-hmm. is not something that a man is supposed to do, or a husband is supposed to do, or a father is supposed to do. And so it's better to leave them in the dark and keep them like guessing about what's going on than to like, you know, have to get, I don't know, get assistance or even like unload or burden them with your problems.
Yeah. But it's so bizarre to me that the fact that you wouldn't even tell your kids is like, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's like, wild. That is just, yeah, I can't even imagine doing that. I can't imagine keeping that kind of secret. Well, first of all, I couldn't do it. I couldn't move to another country with my kids. Right. Unless, I mean, I would say I couldn't. If it was some sort of situation that we've seen before where it was like, I'm going, you know, there's no work, there's no life here for us. I'm going to go to America. I'm going to work for 2 years. I'm going to bring you with me, right?
Yeah, that but kind you wouldn't of just thing. Like dip out and not say anything to your kids.
And there's been no discussion about bringing the kids over afterwards.
Right.
Right? Like Jasmine has been talking about bringing her kids over. Like when things are better, when they're ready. Manuel has not mentioned that at all. He just up and left.
Yeah, but I mean, he might want to have the kids there, but it's like, what does their mom want, you know? Because mm-hmm. I'm sure she has a say in like the whole thing too, you know? So it might not be an option for him the way it is for Jasmine.
Sure. Sure. But I mean, you would think he would at least, and maybe that's just part of his lack of communication. He would at least, you know, share with Ashley, I would really like to be able to bring my kids, but I don't think I'd be able to because their mom is blah, 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 blah. We don't know anything yeah. about the mom. Like, we don't know who, we don't even know if they have the same mom. Is it one woman? Like, we don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Manuel is not my favorite person, and part of it is because of this. It's like, he's just such a difficult person. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you do this on purpose to just be like difficult, or are you just like really just that difficult?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, there's so much of it is like, why? Like, why? And it's, but, it, and I get not wanting to share things, but I get not wanting to share these kind of personal details with the entire world, right? On a nationally broadcast thing. in the United States, but then don't be on the show, right?
Right.
And then, but it also seems like that not only does we not know the actual details of going on, it doesn't sound like Ashley does either.
No.
And I think that's where her sister and her mom get their concern. They're like, you don't even know. Like, you don't even know what this guy's family situation is. Like, I don't even know. We don't even know that he's not actually still married in Ecuador. You know, like, it's like the way he's hiding it, it's like the way he's holding back. And maybe it is just cultural, but then she kind of also needs to explain to him, when you hold back like that in our culture, that means you're lying about something.
Right.
And you're trying to hide something for nefarious reasons. That's the only reason people do that. And so you can't keep doing that and not have me be suspicious.
Yeah. I agree. He's crazy.
Yeah. And just the way his weird, like, lack of emotion, like they were crying over him being thing. He was just like, yeah, here you go. Tissues.
Like, yeah, I know. Right.
And they're like, what about your wife's beautiful new look? He was like, yeah, it's all right. It's fine. It's cool. Like, it's like he's a very hard person to read for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think that's why he was kind of like not exactly the most likable person this season, you know, is because he comes off that way.
The only time he's open up about things is when he's like trolling people. Open up. But the only time he talks is to intentionally rile up Ashley.
God, yeah, right. Yeah. All right. I think we didn't talk about her weight loss. Because that was the thing I wanted to come back to.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. 101 pounds, she said.
Yes, which is such a significant amount. And I'm not to say that was like, I could totally tell she's lost weight. I'm going to be honest with you. I couldn't really tell. And I think part of it is because the dress that she had was kind of almost like an optical illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't really tell what her figure was in that dress. But also, I feel like whatever her before picture was, to me, like, yeah, she was big, but she didn't seem like that big to me.
Yeah, I also wonder if it was 101 pounds since the beginning of her weight loss journey, which might have been – we might have seen her halfway through or part of the way through, you know, that when she was on the show.
Yeah.
And so it might not have been 101 pounds since we've last seen her.
Uh-huh.
You know? And because, 101 is – I mean, it's
– it's a significant amount.
It's a significant amount for anybody, right? But
right.
It's – but she's also – She's also pretty tall.
Yes.
Which makes it a little bit not less significant. It's still good for her and everything, but but it's not as noticeable as it would be in someone who's shorter usually.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. It didn't seem that noticeable to me. She did seem a little bit slimmer. But I mean, she also wore a lot of flowy dresses when we saw her on the show.
Yeah, sure.
And that's part of what I'm trying to say is like it was really hard to get a sense of her figure before and her figure after, because even though she said she lost 100 pounds, it was like that dress. It was like just the, you know, the glitter pattern to it. You know, it's like, I don't know, it was like an optical illusion. I was like, I can't really even tell what your figure looks like with that dress on.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So we will hear more from them because I think we left off with Juno Jasmine.
Juno and Jasmine. Yeah.
Yeah. So out of the group you saw this week, who would you say is your student of the week?
Geez. It's always tough. I'd say Sophie of the ones that we saw featured this time. Just didn't do anything that was really off the wall. And as we always say, didn't step out of their box, their boundary box and their and then just Rob was being a dick and it made her look better in comparison.
Yeah, I actually went with Nikki just because she seemed to be really supportive of Jasmine. It was pretty obvious and clear that they had built a friendship.
Yeah, I was curious about like when did they build this friendship? Did Nikki get on the show because she knew Jasmine? Or was this during the filming and stuff that they
I'm sure they knew that they were cast. And then at that point, it was like a DM situation, you know, like social media. I definitely got that sense. But she seemed really supportive and positive to everybody else except for Igor. But, you know, that's fine considering what they're going through right now. Who was your dunce?
So my dunce was Igor. Just we always hate the tell-alls of the people who step out of their lane. And I hate it even less when you step out of your lane to say things that don't make any sense at all.
Just stupid waste of breath. Sure.
Yes.
I actually went with Gino just because it's like, I don't care if you think you didn't do anything wrong. Your partner is clearly upset. And for you to have this like smug, like, I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't have to comfort her. She should have to figure her own stuff out. Like, that's just not the right attitude to have.
Yeah, but it's also Jasmine, and she's like...
Well, he's choosing to be with her, so, He is choosing to be with her.
Yeah, that's...
That's a whole other separate situation.
Yeah, that's always true.
Yeah. All right. What about your life lesson?
So my life lesson goes to Ashley and Manuel, and it's kind of that... I thought we had a situation here where I thought her sister and her mom were pretty close to being right with that. If he treated his other family like that, then the chances are he's going to treat you like that, right? It's the same thing as like, you know, it's a related story to if he cheated on his old girlfriend to get with you, he's probably going to cheat on you too. Like it's like whatever someone's past is, they tend to repeat it.
Right, right. My life lesson is for Devin, I guess, more so than Nick. But if you say that you are going to, you know, put yourself in a position to speak up and have your voice heard, actually speak up and have your voice heard.
Speak up. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if she meant she was just going to do it when it came to their story. Or just was like, because she's probably one of the more sane people on the stage. So I kind of like it when those people talk.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, I get the sense that she's just really shy, which is fine.
Sure.
But it's like if you're trying to change people's mind about like, you know, having no personality, which, you know, she's certainly been accused of. It's like, well, then have a personality.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like this manufactured fake one. But, you know, people are interested in what you have to say, which is why you're getting hated on for having no personality.
Right. So, well, I think it was also... Yeah. Her personality is very different on social media. Like, and so she kind of is more out of her shell on social media. And it's just like, well, why aren't you saying the things that you're saying and doing the things on social media? Just do them now. Like, say them now. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we will be back next week for our season finale of this season of 90 Day Fiancé, including our second part tell-all.
Second part tell-all. And then we'll get HEA the week after that. So
wonderful.
Roll right along.
Okay. So until then.
All right. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.